Hello and welcome to NIMSY Live. I am your host today as we experience the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers, or at least not to piss them off too much. On this program, we invite guests who like to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I'm always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set. So let us know if there are any topics you'd like covered or guests we should reach out to for future episodes. If you haven't already done so, make sure that you are subscribed to and or following NIMSY Insights on your platform of choice. We are coming to you live today on LinkedIn, X, Facebook, and YouTube, of course, where all of our old episodes are archived. So if you want to go through all of our old episodes, go over to our YouTube channel. We also have free workshops and all sorts of good resources for the language services industry over there. It's a great free resource for the industry. Today, we are talking about a new event that's making waves in our industry, Language Intelligence 2025, happening this November in Vienna. This isn't just another localization or AI conference. Language Intelligence 2025 is a hands-on, practitioner-focused gathering that dives deep into how the latest AI-powered language, content, and knowledge technologies are actually being deployed in the real world across industries, use cases, and business applications. It's all about turning innovation into tangible impact. To help us unpack what makes this event different, we have some guests here today who are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what language intelligence really means in practice. I'm joined by three incredible guests. First, Philip Wacker, Executive Director at LT Innovate and one of the driving forces behind the conference. With more than 35 years of experiencing promoting innovation and digital transformation, Philip has been a key catalyst in connecting language technology with business outcomes. Next, we have Britta. How do I pronounce your last name? I've always wanted to say Asgard, like in Thor, but it's Agard.
Yes, and you know,
I like the eye roll, stupid American. Yeah, good enough. Good enough for an American.
No, Agard. But hey, I mean, it's a Danish name, so it actually says Ogre, but it's, you know, it becomes a little. Agard is fine.
Our second guest is Britta, a philosopher turned entrepreneur and a seasoned executive in the language, data, and AI industries. As part of Transperfect's global leadership team and head of the Semantics Group, she's leading the charge in scaling technology-driven growth and transforming multilingual customer experiences. And lastly, Bruno Herrmann, a recognized global advisor and thought leader in digital transformation, content strategy, and multilingual customer service. Bruno brings decades of experience in helping global organizations bridge technology, culture, and communication. Everybody, welcome to the show. I was reading about this conference before we went live. It looks like a really cool thing. A lot of the feedback I've been getting from people in this industry is it's hard to sift out what's real and what's not. And I think this conference, looking at the speakers and the topics, it looks like a really good thing. So my first question is, tell me about the conference. It's coming up. Where is it? When is it? Who should attend? And what can they expect to get out of it? Whoever wants to go first.
Philip, you have all the organizational details, so give it a shot.
Philip, you're on the spot.
Well, first of all, Taco, thank you very much for hosting us. It's a pleasure to be here today. You've already introduced the conference, more or less. Indeed. Well, this conference has been around for some time. It's not a new conference. It is the yearly conference of LT Innovate. LT Innovate is the Language Technology Industry Association, which has been founded already back in 2012. It has had, of course, a long history going through various stages. In recent years, it has been focusing essentially on bringing together three types of players who are, on the one hand, the supply side, so the suppliers of language technology, and nowadays AI-empowered language technologies or language processing technologies. On the other side, of course, the user communities, the various from the various application markets, and in between, if you want, a little bit as a cement, the various service companies that are active in this domain as well, be it language service companies or technology integrators, IT companies that are working on projects. And the purpose of this event, of course, was to bring together once a year these three communities and to make them think about where we stand and where we're going. In recent years, we've been focusing heavier, more than previously, on being very practical, very down to earth, looking at use cases in the various application domains. Why? Because we think that technology has probably suffered a little bit from technological hype over the years, to some extent even disappointing some users. And it is very important for the various technologies, and this is not only in our domain, but in other technologically driven domains, to focus on the solutions that we can deliver to customers. And so this is what we've been doing. And in the last 3 years, our conference, therefore, has been principally focusing on use cases in very wide application domains, going from public administration, defense, security, to insurance, life sciences, media, retail, and so on and so forth.
So this is a LT Innovate conference.
Absolutely. Yes. It is the yearly LT Innovate conference.
All right. So why focus on language intelligence? Maybe I'll turn it over to Britta or Bruno. Now, what is language intelligence and why are we focusing on language intelligence at this conference?
Yeah, as everybody talks, of course, about AI nowadays. We have actually been talking about language intelligence since the very beginning, as Philippe just mentioned, the last 10 years. And it has always been a huge focus on what technology can enable. I think now in the age of AI, we have been able to even accelerate that discussion as well. But the focus is, and I think it's very timely, is really on value creation, as Philippe also just mentioned. I guess everybody has read, you know, the last maybe months or year or two that the reports coming out, it doesn't really have an impact. It doesn't really give business value. The P&L effect is not even visible across enterprises. And our focus has really been to showcase how it can have real business impact. So that has been our focus. And sometimes it's not only about, you know, finding a specific tool or technology that can do an isolated thing. What we also try to do, what Philippe mentioned, is also bridge some gaps and bring the communities together, because the real solutions are sometimes in also working together and finding the right processes and partners in this. So also bridging that gap. So for us, language intelligence is of course language technology, but now it is a lot about AI applications, obviously.
So I mean, so we're talking about, everyone's talking about AI. Y'all have been talking about, and not just you, but there are some select few that have been talking about what I like to say. We've been talking about and using AI since before it was cool, right? And those are the hyper nerds in our industry. And now it's time for the hyper nerds to shine, right? With conferences like this. I feel like the popularization of AI, the one effect that that's having on our industry is it's really blurring the lines between localization and other functions in a company. So it kind of leads to the question, when it comes to choosing which conferences we're going to go to, which research we're going to do, does it make sense just to focus on language services? How do we expand out of our industry? We're talking about this a little bit before we went live. Does it make sense to expand outside of our industry and make connections with other departments, other specialists, other industries, verticals? And how do we do that? And how is Language Intelligence 2025 doing that, crafting a program that's not just about localization?
Yeah.
Bruno, maybe I'll go to you. Give you some screen time here.
I can pick this one. I think that I'm going to repeat what I said in my post on LinkedIn. I think this is the right time to indeed reframe or to repurpose the topic of language management, because it's much more than translation, localization, and other activities that are related to language management, which are important. And to be honest with you, Tucker, this conference is really a great place for me to be, because this is what I've been doing for the past 25 years in client organizations. I've been always managing or implementing, if you will, language technology in a certain context, which is value creation. Value creation should be the objective for everyone. Otherwise, you know, what is the purpose? And well, just to say what I said to the panelists who are going to be on my panel during the conference, I said that language intelligence is putting AI and language intelligence in language technology in general, but AI is going to be part of that, of course. It's to put language technology in perspective and in action. First in perspective, it means that indeed language technology or language intelligence means different things to different people, to different industries. And that's why during the conference, we will have speakers from very different industries, life sciences, legal, defense, quite a number of very different industries. And that's important because for each of these industries, there is a goal, which is value creation. And this goal can be quite different based on, you know, the criteria that they use. So that's for the perspective. And then, you know, and then the action. And I think that language intelligence, that's been my personal belief for the past 25 years, is that language intelligence is home in, you know, what may be called product management, content management, actually the business processes that are in every organization. Language management, language technology, language intelligence shouldn't be in a silo. It shouldn't be a vertical. It should be really creating value across different departments, different business units, so that, you know, what we do, and it can be just translation, it can be just localization, but we are all involved in language management in any case. So what we do is really recognized and elevated in the business. It's not just considered as a service or as a commodity. And language intelligence is not a commodity. It has to be really implemented and valued in the business processes, which are related to product, content, service. And that's the case for all companies. So the perspective and the action are really two different things that we are going to elaborate on.
And I don't want to go into spoilers here for some of the things that y'all are going to be talking about here, but that kind of brings up a question. What do you see as moving away from the conference, just kind of taking advantage of having this panel of experts here? What do you see the changes being to the role of the client-side localization director, localization manager in the next 5 years with this? I certainly have my opinions and predictions for the future, but I'm wondering if you had any insights. Philip.
Right. Maybe let me provide a general introduction to this, because I think Bruno and Britta are more directly involved in this aspect. But I would like to emphasize the following. What we're talking about is actually all over the place. Language intelligence is all over the place. Why is it all over the place? For the following reason. There is no intelligence without language. It's also a human phenomenon. Okay, you can. Some people say some animals are intelligent. Yes, there are some lower forms of intelligence out there, but it's essentially a human phenomenon. It is about acquiring knowledge and deriving intelligence from it, and then applying it in your life. Across the board. And when you look at organizations or businesses, then obviously you talk about their operations, their processes. And you can then take all these processes one by one, all these operations one by one, look at what level, at which levels they're impacted by language, at which level language management comes in, and you have the application domains of our technologies that are lining up. And they're extremely extensive. Localization translation is just one application domain, and it's one that has been around for a number of years, but there are now many others that are opening up. And generally speaking, it's all about knowledge management. So I think that the future of the localization director, probably, in my view, is going to be that they will be evolving towards becoming knowledge management directors. People who are in charge of deriving value from the content that an organization has and that it lives from.
Yeah, and that goes directly back to what also Bruno said, that, I mean, today language intelligence is basically an infrastructure for businesses to run on. And I really like what you're saying, Philippe, that this is about knowledge and that language is inherently human. I mean, it is actually what makes us human. And now also with the modern language technology and especially AI, of course, we have the ability to combine, you know, our human world knowledge and also enterprise knowledge, and we can create value far beyond what you know translation and localization has ever been, and this is a wonderful opportunity for us, you know, coming from this space, but certainly also to educate, you know, further into other areas of the enterprises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with Britta and Philip. And I would say from my own experience and perspective now, I would say that, of course, there will be some changing roles and there will be some opportunities actually to extend language intelligence to a number of fields in the business or outside the business. But I think that, you know, in addition to indeed knowledge managers, there might be people, and I see that now in some cases, there might be people who have been actually localization directors or translation, head of translation for a number of years, and are moving to roles which are, as I said, more leaning into other business processes. And they become head of multilingual product management. They become head of, you know, multilingual data science, just because language is in all these fields. You cannot manage products in any business without dealing with language. You cannot manage, I would say, some IT projects in a number of organizations without dealing with language. So, and same thing with content in general. A good friend of mine recently moved from head of localization, and he became director of global content operations. Global content operations, of course, is relying on multilingual content, and it's relying then on localization. But beyond that, to what Britta said, the infrastructure, the framework, the foundation, which is so important. So there is a future, yeah.
And so this is an optimistic viewpoint of the future for, quote unquote, our industry. I almost don't like talking about our industry anymore because it goes against the whole thesis of this conversation, right. The whole point that we're trying to make is that we limit ourselves when we say, I am a localization manager, right? We're limiting ourselves because we can be so much more for that. And I think this is an opportunity. While some see it as a risk, advancements in technology, this is an opportunity for us to expand outside of converting words from one language to another and really claim our value in the wider organizational landscape. The question is, how, right? It's like I'm a localization program director, client side. I'm a former translator. I rose up through the ranks. All I know is localization. All I know is translation. New things scare me. I'm middle aged, so I don't want to learn new things. How do I stay on top of these advancements in technology? The obvious answer is to go to this conference.
Right? That's the other.
I'm setting you up with a softball here, but I'm hoping that you can expand a little bit more.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, to Bruno's point, just, I mean, instead of also talking about ourselves or talking about myself as a localization manager, I could talk about myself as a client experience manager, content operations manager, because then I don't talk about, you know, the tools or what I do, but the results, the value that I'm creating. I think this is very much a mindset shift. And then, of course, you're totally right, Tucker, that there is a lot to learn, you know, hands-on. But it's not a one-man show, because this is also very much, it has to be cross-functional. It goes across organizations. And then in that teamwork and ecosystem, this is then actually where this happens. I mean, this is not a single service or transactional function anymore, and this is then where the magic happens. And you're totally right; we are very optimistic about this.
Yeah,
but we have good reasons to be optimistic, because look, we've run this conference already for a number of years, and essentially it's about exchanging good practice. And people are coming to this conference and show how they deal with it today. When we talk about use cases, I mean, these are very practical cases coming from all sorts of fields, like insurance, life sciences, publishing, retail, and so on. And people really talk about how they are confronting the situation, what they learn. They are confronted, on the other hand, with people from the technology side who are able to inform them about the leading edge capabilities of these technologies. And altogether in this mix, as I said, the most important thing is that people learn from each other, and this is how they will move forward.
Yeah, and also, I mean, to your question, Tucker, there's how do you learn about, you know, the nuts and bolts of it? I think this is what especially this conference is really good at. It is not high level, it is not conceptual. As Philip just said, it's very practical and hands-on, and then you can relate that to your own business problem or business use case, and actually go home and see how can I deploy this.
Mm-hmm. Right, and looking at, I'm pulling up the session highlights here, just to look at some of the sessions here. I was looking at that you can go to, I put the link in the chat over on LinkedIn. So if you're listening to this and you want to go check out for yourself, please do so. You can also register at this website that I provided the URL. But there's a lot of faces here that I don't recognize, which is awesome. Because,
which is great, right?
Great, right? Because I feel one thing that we struggle with historically has been the echo chamber. And we get together and we talk about how, you know, quality is number one and those darn stakeholders of mine just won't listen to me and I need to educate the world about how important I am. And it's interesting every time you talk to someone from outside of the echo chamber, and I see a lot of people from outside the echo chamber in here, people from organizations dealing just with AI and technology, people from publishing industry. How did you go about getting all of these people into the conference? Was it an active outreach or did they come to you? What did that look like?
Okay, this is something we've been working on already for, I would say, almost a decade. In the mid-2010s, of course, we started reaching out to some organizations, usually very large organizations, like, for example, Daimler-Benz in Germany, Elsevier was another one, big telecommunication companies, and so on. And we started running in our conference one or two use case presentations. And then in order to become even more practical with some of them, we actually went to meet them and their managers, and we had an in-depth discussion. So we spent a day with them on site, and we talked about where they're coming from, where they see the issues from their end, and what we could contribute to it. And then more in the last few years, we've actually multiplied these cases and brought more and more into our conference. So we've established many contacts. And this is the first thing I do every year. Every year, I identify 2, 3, 4 application domains that we haven't yet been interacting with. I identify people who are working in this domain. Of course, I talk to them. Takes sometimes quite a bit of time to bring them on board. And usually they come and present, and we try to, you know, to create some sort of a matching as well in advance already. And after the conference, by the way, we try to keep the relationship going as well. So this is basically the process.
Yeah, and this is again how we also really can say that this is real and use cases, because we speak to people in enterprises and understand their daily lives and how they both have solved mm-hmm. some issues, but also what they're still struggling with.
Yeah, and then just to circle back on something that you said, Tucker, about why is it different? I think you mentioned that in the beginning. That's another reason, or that's another evidence that this conference is different. It's not just different because of the scope of the topics that we are going to deal with. It's also different because we will invite, and there will be people who are not what I personally call the usual suspects in conferences. So
apart from us, yeah, of course.
Yeah, apart from us. Yes. But we are out of category, so we have an excuse. But recently I was talking to one of my panelists, and she was telling me, Bruno, this is the first time I'm going to join a panel because I'm not a conference goer. And I said, oh, that's not the term for me. A conference goer, meaning somebody who goes to all conferences. And she was very excited because when I invited her, I didn't know that she was not one of these conference goers. I said, you know, please join because your experience is just great. And it's very much in line with the topic and the theme of the conference, which is value creation. But I didn't realize that, of course, she herself was not sort of feeling as, you know, a person who usually presents and usually shares best practices. So I think that, you know, having less usual suspects, except ourselves, will be another value for the audience, is that when they come, they will see other faces and they will see our faces as well. But yeah, it's a mix.
Yeah. And
also is that while we had initially mostly the supply side, so basically the technology providers, coming along with a client of theirs and showing what they had done together, we now have more and more the user side coming directly to us and saying, hey, we've done a great project here. We'd like to present it at your event. And this is something we managed to do relatively easily. We have an open call for presentations, and now we're receiving almost 50-50 presentations, proposals for presentations from the supply side and from the demand side.
Wow.
And also, it's not only, you know, the glorification, even if I said we were optimists, we even have a session of F-ups also. So we are also sharing, you know, things that didn't go well, which I also think is showing that this is a very transparent conversation also that you can have.
People love hearing about that. That's one of people's, how other people have messed up things yeah. is one of people's favorite topics. I love listening to it. Right. There's a certain Schadenfreude there, unless my name shows up on one of the slides, then less so much.
And it's so relatable, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you haven't messed up royally yet in your career, then you're not old enough. Just wait for it.
Or you're just not doing anything.
You're just not doing anything important, right? Exactly. And Bruno, you mentioned, you know, someone coming in who's not a conference goer. And mm-hmm. I think that as you were talking, like, that's kind of a great metaphor for what we need to do in our industry. Because what you're talking about is someone getting out of their comfort zone, reaching out and talking to people that typically they haven't talked to. before, even speaking in front of those people. And I feel that's just a great metaphor for what we should be doing. And by we, you know who I'm talking about, this industry, the localization industry. I'm really trying hard not to change my language, not just talk about the local industry, but let's be real. That's who's watching this. We need to get out of our comfort zone and have these new conversations with people, make new friends and have new conversations and go into rooms where we are by far not the smartest person in the room, because that's how we learn, getting out of our comfort zone. And before I go any further, I just want to give, I want to make this a short session today. So chat, active chat over there. If anyone has any questions for my guest today, about the conference, about life, about anything, feel free to drop those in the chat and I can get to them there. And also I wanted to pull this up. Thank you, Margareta, for dropping a link into the chat over on LinkedIn. There's a whole playlist of pre-conference discussions over here on YouTube. So the link is in the chat. If you are on the fence about attending and want to see what it's about, go check this out. If you definitely know you can't make it, you've got kids, you've got COVID, you've got no budget, then go check this out and you can still get some value from these guys. That's my two cents. So as we start winding up here, I'd like to just go around the room and say, because this is the right panel to talk to, and I think we've touched on a lot of these subjects already, but what advice would you have? This is one of my favorite questions. I kind of asked you what advice you would have for...
No, now we know, so we are prepared.
Yes, I've asked about, like, if I'm a localization director, what should I be worried about? Where should I be investing my time and money for the next 5 years, right? A lot of students and younger folks watch this podcast, and I always like to ask, if I'm a 20-year-old looking and I want to get into the localization industry, I want to start a career in language intelligence, just so I'm not using the word localization, where do I need to be investing my time? What subjects do I need to be studying in college? Do I need to be going to college? Would I be better suited to get an internship somewhere? Where would I be investing my time and what should I be studying? Philip.
Okay, it's a tough one for me.
Right. Me too. That's why I like to ask other people.
Once again, I tend to keep my answers on the generic side. I'd say combine language with something else. Of course, on the one hand, be very proud that you are studying language. And I would add an S to that. Languages. One language is not enough. We live in a world that is extremely complex. Our societies are becoming more and more multilingual. And despite of the fact that we all have a lingua franca, I mean, many of us at least, in which we can communicate, it's nevertheless important that all of us understand more than just one language, because a language is also an opening to a culture, to a way of life, and so on. But then once you, having done that and having studied language and being very proud of it, because as I said earlier, language is the core of intelligence. There is no intelligence without language. And even machines, when they communicate with humans, have to use language. And by the way, music is also a language and computer code is a language in a certain sense. Combine these language studies with other studies, scientific studies, or technical studies, and look at where they intersect and go for the many domains where there is nowadays a demand for people with multiple competences. As a matter of fact, in our domains right now, it's not that there are too many people who are looking for jobs. It's actually the contrary. It is plenty of jobs don't find the people with the right skills. So get yourself multi-layered skills, that would be my advice.
Very good. And I'm going to get to the other two. Thank you. Great answer. Follow-up question from the chat here is not showing up on my screen, but asked by Edwin. Says, who are some of the speakers you are most excited about too in this conference? So maybe we can tackle both of those. And Philip, if you have any answers, feel free to jump in. Otherwise, I'm going to move on. I'm excited about Bruno.
We all are.
But the question, and Britta, the question is, who are Britta and Bruno excited? Who are you going to go watch, prioritize on your schedule?
So last year we had a presentation of, it says titled the localization manager of the Austrian Armed Forces, Thomas Fong, how language intelligence, AI language, plays a role in warfare. That was mind-blowing to me. I'm looking forward to that again, because you know some of the perspectives shared we haven't even thought about in our little world. So this is, for me again, this is a highlight I'm looking forward to, and very much out of comfort zone, but so much to learn.
Wow, that's awesome.
And from my side, well, it's difficult question, because I don't want to, have more enemies than I have today. So I'm not going to mention any names. But I would say there are two things that are really exciting for me in the program, is that there is a good mix. When I say a good mix, there is a good balance between, suppliers and users, doers, practitioners, so clients. And as Britta said, there are industries which are usually not presenting. I can use the example of a lady presenting for the Austrian transportation industry. So I don't know much about the transportation industry myself, so it's going to be very interesting. And if I want to be a bit egocentric, I'm really excited about the panel I will have the pleasure to moderate. First of all, because this panel is really made of people coming from different industries, and some are usual suspects, some are definitely not conference goers. And also because this panel is going to be nearly all female. So some people are complaining that there are too many male presenters. In my panel, there will be just one male panelist and the rest will be female panelists. So I'm excited about that.
Well done.
And if I may add a few words as well. First of all, I can reassure you, Britta, Colonel Fronek will be coming again this year, and he will be reporting on the work he's done since last year. Apparently, interacting with us and the audience, giving many ideas that he has been working on. He's been organizing a number of events this year, invited me to attend some of them. They were really very interesting, within the armed forces on the one hand, and on the other hand, bringing together several ministries and looking into horizontal questions that they all have to address jointly. So he will have a lot to report on that. And then as far as I'm concerned, I'm very much looking forward to a series of presentations coming from the risk and crisis management domain, where we have identified four different speakers who will be addressing this topic, where there are also many overlaps with language issues. And yeah, so that's going to be a totally new one, and in my view, is going to be as enriching and opening up for our minds as last year with defense.
Great answer. I'm getting more excited about this as we go on.
Are you coming? I
can't. I can't. It's the kids, like I said.
But we will have Nimsy representation.
We will. Nimsy is a partner of this. We are. I'm guessing there's going to be a bunch of Nimsonians. Nimsonians are everywhere. We're like bed bugs. You can't get rid of us. Cool. Every conference you're going to be seeing.
Forward to meeting your colleagues.
Yes. And better to have my colleagues than me. They're better looking and know more than I do. So I'm glad to send them there. Just watching the clock here, I want to get us out of here on time, because I know some of our guests and myself, we have other meetings. I'm just starting my day over here. But I would be remiss if I ended this without at least giving a shout out to the sponsors. Sponsors are the people that make conferences happen. So X-Team, Karakun, Translated, AlmaWave, Interprefy, thank you so much for your generous support for making this conference happen. And... Yeah, always grateful for the sponsors in our industry that make these events happen, because without their help, we couldn't do any of this. So
indeed.
Philippe, Britta, Bruno, thank you so much. It's good to talk to you guys. Some of you I haven't chatted with for a while. Some of you I haven't chatted with ever. So it's nice to meet / see you again. And I'm going to wrap us up here. Thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right, ladies, gentlemen, chat, we are out of time for today. If you enjoyed this NIMSY Live experience, join us next week when I'm going to be talking to some resident experts here at NIMSY Insights, as well as some folks from the client side about the software vertical. It's going to be an interesting conversation. It's going to be based off of a report available from NIMSY Insights that, of course, you can go check out on our website right now. Speaking of the website, I want to say, if you are a conference goer, we have a great resource for you at NIMSY Insights. You go to NIMSY.com, resources, event calendar, and we have a whole calendar of events. Some of them are online events, some of them are in-person events, some of them are very expensive, some of them are free. But if you are a conference goer or want to become a conference goer, this is your place to start to see what's out there in the industry. So,
and sorry, Tucker, let's just say our conference is not expensive.
Very good. I purposefully didn't ask you about price today. You don't talk about price when you're live on TV.
Go to the registration link and check it out.
Say it's very affordable. It's high value to cost ratio is what we're going to call it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, out of time for today. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to my colleagues here at NIMSY Insights doing all the hard work so I can have these fun conversations. And finally, thank you to you, the audience, who are joining us live today or watching the recording. And I look forward to next time. Cheers.